Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Happy Tuesday and happy Halloween. I'm Simone, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. After missing Week 7's contest, Jimmy Garoppolo returned to the field for a little Monday Night Football, but couldn't get lucky for Las Vegas as the Raiders fall to the Lions 26-14.
Two teams will meet out in the middle of the field to say job well done, job better done on this night by the Detroit Lions.
After months of speculation, James Harden is a 76er no more. The LA Clippers acquired Harden in a blockbuster trade late last night, NBA sources confirm. Styles and Watkins are going to be breaking down how this impacts the West and details of the trade all show long for you.
The one with the beard, James Harden.
And finally, the 2023 NFL trade deadline is here. The fellas will keep you updated on the latest moves right here on the airwaves and as always over at SacktownSports.com and on that Sacktown Sports app.
Let's get it.
I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Welcome in to Styles and Watkins.
It's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, 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 it is. Got the intro going.
Did you hear that?
We got
like we're official at
this
point.
I'm scared
we're
of you guys.
Like a referee whistle. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to have a couple other intros, too. We're just going to run the option on intros. I just want a different intro for every week. You know, taking it back to baseball, very much into, I spent a lot of time on my walk-up
songs. Oh, yeah, your walk-up song.
It's very important.
For sure.
And actually, before the World Series ends, we should go around, figure out what would be your walk-up song.
That's a great one.
If you, game's on the line,
yep.
Right? We need a base knock. We need a walk-off. We need something from you. What would be your walk-up song? Welcome into Styles and Watkins on this Halloween. And we have some people in costumes here. We have some people too lazy like myself.
Yeah, me too.
And there's a lot to talk about. James Harden, he gone. And we don't know if we care. We're trying to figure that out. He's with the Clippers now. And how much help does Paul George need? I don't know, and I don't know that it's enough. All I know is that James Harden has been the only person, one of the only people, to logistically and just destroy every contract he's been a part of.
Yeah.
He is the bratty kid that always gets his way because the parents, a la the NBA, doesn't want to deal with him.
They never check him. Yeah,
you can't check him.
Yeah. It's too late at this point.
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. When I got in trouble, you know, it got to a point where your parents would hit your hand, right? And if my mom hit my hand, once I got a little bit older, it didn't bother me. But if Pops got a hold of it, it was a problem. Nobody has ever checked James Harden, and nobody's going to check him. And I don't even know how good he is. So we got to talk about James Harden. Devontae Adams.
Get that man some. You want to talk about how much help does someone need?
I can't, man.
Get that man somewhere.
I can't. We have sound from Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport on Devontae Adams and whether he will be moved because the trade deadline, got to be careful here with Central Time versus Pacific, ends at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. So we will have
Be live.
All of that going on in case the Niners decide to do something. We also have some sound from Shams talking about the Kings. Do they have enough certain trades? And yes, that guy that Chris keeps throwing into trade generators did come up, so we have that as well. The trade deadline, like I talked about. And one of our guys, one of the most polarizing figures in sports media. You know him, you either love him or you hate him. I'm not going to say his name, but he said some very, very interesting things about the Kings and where they sit as far as the best basketball teams, NBA teams in California. So we're going to get into that as well. Chris Watkins. And also, it's Halloween. We're talking favorite candy, favorite scary movies, the best Halloween costume you've ever had. Mm-hmm. Chris Watkins, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It was a late night trying to figure out or just wait, I guess, for the James Harden official, the players that were actually dealt out. Had to wait a good amount of time for that. Mm-hmm. Literally right as I was about to put my phone down and everything, I get the tweet notification. James Harden's been traded at 11 p.m. on the dot. And I'm like, all right, well, now I got to at least, you know, normally that stuff comes out within minutes. I think we had to wait like 25 or 30 minutes before the official news all came out and everything like that. So, you know, it's a good day. I love when the NBA is more active on a trade deadline, in the NFL trade deadline, than the NFL actually is. So, love NBA action and love when people are getting moved. But it's just unfortunate that it's James Harden.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do.
And, of course, it's the Pacific Division.
Exactly, because why not? Just bring everybody.
Yeah, no, the Pacific Division was pretty – a lot of people were saying the Pacific Division was by far the least talented and easiest division. So it's good that they finally put some sort of talent in this division.
40% of the All-Stars from the Western Conference are going to be from the Pacific Division.
I feel like that's short-selling.
It's crazy.
I really feel like that's short-selling.
It's insanity. So, yeah, James Harden, we'll get into that a little bit more when we come back from the break. But, you know, also, I did want to bring up something that you brought up to me with this Sam Amick article a little later in the show when we go Hardcore Kings. He's talking about something that could be an issue.
Yeah.
Right? Because you talked about De'Aaron Fox wanting to come back in the game, but he had already played at least.
Right.
But at the same time, the incentive for these guys, because of the incentives in their contracts, and for those of you who may not know, you know, when you were an all-star in Little League or whatever the case was, you didn't get anything extra. These guys, they actually do.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of these contracts, they get bonuses if they're all NBA. They get bonuses if they make an all-star team. And because of these new rules where you have to play a certain amount of games, some of these guys, I don't think a Kawhi Leonard would care very much.
Right.
Or Paul George.
Well, some
no
of
disrespect.
Them, yeah.
But
some of them have things where you can't unlock like a supermax unless you're an all NBA player, and you can't be an all NBA. Like, it's just a trickle down of, you know, you could be affecting hundreds of millions of potential dollars. Like, John Morant this season has already affected the fact that he's not going to be all NBA this year because he's going to be suspended for 25 games. That's going to affect the extension he's going to get next time, and that's going to probably cost him somewhere near around $100 million. And it's just because, you know, he's not going to play the requisite amount of games. And it brings up the question, like you were saying, is this – could this potentially be more damning than it is helpful for NBA guys? Because, frankly, a lot of these guys – do care a lot about their money still. Like, it's not just about love of the game. Of course, they're playing it for millions of dollars as well. Will they opt to go for that money long term? Like, hey, if I just can play through this injury this year, make all NBA, sign that mega deal, that's all that matters, is that I'm healthy for this year. It doesn't matter if I'm healthy for the duration of that contract. That money is signed, sealed, delivered. All I got to do is make it healthy to this year. And, and what does that mindset change, if there is any change? What does that do for guys like De'Aaron Fox, who will play through injury and potentially further injure his ankle because he's not – I don't think De'Aaron's doing it because of the financial incentives, but even if it is because he's trying to play as many games to help his team make the playoffs, is that good? Like, I think it's a – it's obviously we'd love to see it from the competitive angle, but is it good for De'Aaron long-term? And obviously what's good for De'Aaron long-term is also good for the Kings long-term. So it's just an interesting conundrum that the NBA might have accidentally slipped into.
Well, yeah, because they're trying to fix – it already seems like it's going to hurt more than it's going to help, because we've already seen a bunch of dudes sit. Right.
There's
Devin Booker's missed two games.
Embiid rested.
During a home game. So they tried to solve an issue, and all they've done is possibly created another problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that is not ideal. So we'll break all that down a little bit later in the show. Halloween, and welcome in Simone as well. Simone, you got to help us here. And I feel bad.
We got to help the listening audience.
You got to help the listening audience. Yeah, maybe someone can guess. Why don't you describe it?
No, I mean, I don't. Okay. This is, I'm trying to be compliant. It's still work, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we are definitely still at work.
Yeah. Yes. This is just more of a, this is French Simone I give you.
Okay.
That's it. Just French Simone.
Yeah.
Not Simone's Emily in Paris or anything like that.
Yep, I got a.
Are you going to talk
one
with
of our
the French
listeners?
Accent?
No, I can't. That's too much. That's too much. Oh, wait. No. One of our listeners from France gave me this jersey. He shipped it over here, so I'm wearing my French jersey and
people
Kylian
can't
Mbappe
see you,
and a baguette back here and a cigarette,
a
and it's great.
Wow.
Wow.
A baguette.
Yeah. And the red hair. Like, where I feel like we're sleeping on the fact that Simone just has a red
yeah.
wig
I don't think
on.
Anyone can see me. It's too dark in here. But yeah.
Wow.
So just a little
well, you know,
something.
There's
something, you know. Yeah. And look, I'm all about the low effort costumes with high effect.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm into. That same Halloween party that I went to this weekend, someone, she went full face paint, right?
Uh-oh.
Then also put the... I don't know where she got it from, but put like the contraption, like the, I don't know if it's gel or whatever. She was Snape from nice. Harry Potter and looked like fully all in.
Yeah.
All in.
All in. Head, all in. Cap, ball, everything.
The cap,
oh, wait,
everything.
Never mind. Never mind.
No,
I'm confusing.
No, no,
I'm
no.
Not a Harry
no,
Potter
no,
girl,
sorry. I know I had it wrong. Voldemort.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought you
sense.
Were doing.
That makes
okay.
a lot more
all
sense
right,
to
yeah.
say that on these airwaves.
Yeah,
so
yeah, sorry.
Be careful.
It's safer to say Voldemort than Trey Lance most of the time, so. Well, yeah, yeah. Well, Simone, thank you for doing it.
Of course.
Yes, thank Chris, you for showing spirit,
Chris,
Simone.
Your crew is pretty saucy, I must say.
Thank you, I appreciate
Chris is rocking
it.
For those listening. He's got this Nike crew sweatshirt.
I like it a lot.
It's pretty saucy. It's pretty crispy, so I'm happy.
You did
appreciate
a touch of Halloween. I see your
that's
shirt
right.
says Real Monsters.
Yes, it's
Real,
Real
Monsters.
Monsters.
Okay.
Do you not, is that, you never?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Sorry.
Nickelodeon. That's
wait,
like
wait,
Nick
wait, 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 wait. You don't know Ah Real Monsters?
Okay, I have
did you
to
not
be...
get down with Nickelodeon?
Yeah, my parents were weird, dude. Okay. I'm from Portland.
No,
they
yeah.
didn't have like a TV and it was like, yeah, it was a
yeah,
long
no.
time until I got to see
that makes
authentic
a lot,
shows.
That makes a lot more sense.
And then
sense.
Now I'm obsessed with TV.
So where does like your TV journey start?
We late 90s.
I think you should know All Real Monsters.
I think you should
okay. know. Okay. I received
that's
that.
That's your homework.
I received that, and I'll do it.
That's your right. homework. You know Goosebumps?
Very
yes, I do.
Show.
Then you should know All Real Monsters.
Okay. I did get in a lot of trouble. We were doing a guessing game on the Carmichael Dave show, and I had said, I'd blurted out Animorphs for a...
Oh,
yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah. And then they didn't believe me that that was a real show. So
oh, no,
I know Animorphs.
Yeah, Animorphs.
But, yeah,
no,
I don't know.
Books, too. Yeah. I read those
Real
books.
Monster.
I read those books. Yes. I read those books.
Yes.
Simone was
read.
Yeah,
I'm
read.
Picking up what
you
you're putting
it.
Down.
I read those
wasn't
books.
An audiobook.
I just had to. One more time. All right.
Let's
gotta get to
that.
A break. When we get back, we are breaking down James Harden. And I have a cautionary tale for our guy from Palo Alto High that is now struggling in Las Vegas. Devontae, we'll talk about you soon. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
Had to let it drop. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Fourth official show.
Ooh.
You didn't think I would forget. Four is my favorite number, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Why
it is
that? Was that your baseball number? What number?
It was my baseball okay. number. It was my baseball number because I had, what was it, 4 women in my life growing up. My grandma, I loved with.
Like,
I lived with my grandma.
Yeah.
My
like, hey,
yeah,
what?
Sorry.
What
hey,
you
hey,
doing?
Hey,
what you doing?
Buddy,
my mom's college experience
my,
is different.
Okay, all right. All right.
It was very sweet. Then
it was,
you
I know.
Just. I needed a U-turn in my mind
no, no,
because
no.
I'm a crazy
look,
person.
Yeah, because French Simone is just all over the place
yes.
here. You know, just going crazy back in the booth. But no, my mother, my grandmother lived with us, and then I have 2 sisters. So that's
oh,
how, that's
nice.
What I went with. And that's always been the number. So the 4th show, it's
got
to be a good
got
show
it.
For me.
No, it's going to be the best show.
You know? So, well, I don't know. That was, yeah.
Well, the best show so far.
Well, Carmichael
so
Dave, I mean, just coming in.
Yeah, I was
like,
what, good do, you want,
show.
What do you want
like,
me to
what?
Say? What do you want me to say?
First of all, why are we even talking?
Yeah.
We just normally.
First off, Dave, you didn't listen?
Yeah.
What are you talking
exactly,
about? Bro? Like,
exactly.
Come on.
And,
first
you know,
things first.
Just out of nowhere. Good show.
Good show? Question mark?
You know, run it back, Dave. Go listen on YouTube. We got you. We got you. All right. Someone who's not running it back. With the 76ers, that's James Harden.
Mm.
And James Harden from the Houston, from the lemon pepper wings to the burger to places he likes to frequent that we will not get
yes,
into
we won't get into
as
that.
Well, to the fast
his establishments.
Suits, to everything with James Harden. Now he's on the Clippers. And to be honest, I think when we have conversations about James Harden, I probably undersell him a bit because he bothers me. It feels like you still think he is an, I don't know, is he elite or is he
or not
very so good, above average? I don't know where James Harden falls at this point in his career.
I think when he first arrived somewhere, as he is here with the Clippers, I think he'll be a really good fit. He usually, I mean, people forget, like, James Harden is a skilled basketball player. Mm-hmm. Like, he's arguably one of the best scorers that we have in this generation of basketball players right now. The numbers he's been able to put up are absolutely ridiculous. Of course, it has all came at the expense of being a good teammate for the most part. A lot of people haven't enjoyed playing with James Harden. Standing in the corner and watching him dribble the clock out isn't the most enjoyable experience for most guys. But he also led the league in assists last year. He's shown the propensity to kind of be a chameleon, especially when he's playing with other stars that he actually respects. He can run the offense. We've obviously seen his scoring ability as well. The defensive end of things is definitely his biggest shortcoming. Mm-hmm. But he's somebody who can definitely make that Clipper team dangerous if all things are clicking. The problem is, as you just so beautifully put, James Harden has been all over the place. And more times than not, even if it works out for 5 months, even if it works out for a year, even if it works out for 2-3 years, eventually these things go sour, and it just feels like that Clipper situation is just asking to go south. Like, I mean, when you have Kawhi Leonard, who plays 50% of games, you have Paul George, who is great. I love Paul George. Mm-hmm. Paul George is almost like the Klay Thompson of that team, where it's like, I've got nothing bad to say about Paul George, except for the fact he, frankly, as well, has came upon some injuries that have kept him out in really important times for that team. And then you have Russell Westbrook. People can't forget that Russell Westbrook is still on this team as well.
Yeah.
It's just a really weird collection of guys. And I think James will, again, enter the situation with a positive attitude. He got what he wanted in the long run. He's going to be with some stars. He won't have to have the entire pressure of winning on his back completely. But at the same time, you know, when playoff time comes around and shots are at a premium and shots are also at a minimum, I just think that it's going to be a really tough task for these guys to come together, because at the end of the day, if you tell me James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George are on the same team, mentally it doesn't really click. Those pieces don't really seem to complement each other.
Yeah,
it's more just, okay, yeah, that's a really, really good collection of talent, but that doesn't always work out.
So with all that being said, are you moved?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Clippers are any more scary of a team now than they are before, because they still have tons of questions, and all those questions still very much exist. Like, if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George aren't healthy, the team's not winning. James Harden is not going to be good enough to elevate that team to possibly win a series with those guys out. He still needs Kawhi and at least one of Kawhi or Paul George to be healthy for them to even have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a cop-out on my end, but I got to see it first.
No, that's right. Absolutely. I think that's where most people should be. I don't think anyone should feel positively about that. Like, I don't think anyone should feel like, oh my gosh, the Clippers definitely just made a huge run at being a contender. I think it's way too early for that.
Well, and the whole thing was, after seeing James Harden, yeah, he turned it on once or twice in the playoffs, and he turned back the clock. But Joel Embiid and the Sixers, they thought they were getting that guy, not all the time, but more often than they got that guy. They got an above-average point guard, right, with scoring-wise and facilitating-wise, that is not good on defense, right, and also is a pain, a headache, right? Yes. So I don't really know. I think he'll fit because of who they already have. But it's a bit of a mess. I don't know how much Harden and Westbrook will play together. I don't know how much they can play together. We'll see what happens. The Clippers, they're just, you know, and somebody said, speaking of the Clippers and what the Clippers had to give up in order to get James Harden, the Clippers are in a complete mess, right? They are, their future is a complete disaster. Yeah. They have no picks. They're stuck. And they are weirdly thinking that they're going all in. Maybe they do. It's just the amount of times they're sitting here just thinking, if we all are good 1 year. Mm-hmm. When they were all good, if I'm not mistaken, in the bubble when they lost.
Yes.
They had both those.
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, they had both those guys in Kawhi and Paul George, and they couldn't get it done. So you add Russell Westbrook, who he's learned to play his role more, and whatever is left of James Harden. And, you know, it's giving a little over the hill, but possibly if everything works out correctly, like, you know, You saw that clip of Jordan Poole yesterday where he just...
Yes, where he dribbled. It's just, Jordan Poole is actually like a joke.
And I saw a tweet that said, 2 years ago, this guy was the second option on a championship team.
Right.
In the Warriors. And the Warriors really... We don't know what's going to happen to Jordan Poole. He's still young. But the Warriors, at least that year, 2022, they caught lightning in a bottle and they made it happen.
Yeah.
That is where the Clippers are at. If we could just catch everything perfectly one time, then we can get it done. But the chances of that happening, I think at this point, we've seen it over. You're just adding more older guys with a propensity to get injured.
You know what? This is just giving me a lot of memories of is like those mid-2000s Brooklyn Nets teams with like old KG, old Paul Pierce. You got old Darren Williams. And it's just they're going to try, like you said, they're just going to try and make it for one. Like they're just trying to get one good run out of this thing. And they might or they probably won't. What I think this is really more so about, I don't think this is about winning a title. I really don't. I feel like this is honestly more of a move because the Los Angeles Clippers are opening a brand new basketball stadium next year in Inglewood, California, and they're going to try and sell that place out. I mean, that's really what it is. Like the Clippers obviously have shared Staples Center or whatever they want to call it nowadays with the Lakers for years. I think ever since they've moved to LA, they've shared a stadium. This is their chance to kind of finally claim their stake of land or what Steve Ballmer feels like they can claim a stake of land. And the biggest way of doing that is being the place in LA that has tons of stars, and you can go and, maybe you can see LeBron and AD, but you can also go see four guys that in Russ and James and Paul George and Kawhi that those are like, if not all four are playing on a given day, you're at least going to get three and then whoever else they're playing. So to me, this is a lot more about business. It's a lot more about marketing and less so about, hey, let's do the best possible move for the Clippers to win a championship. Because frankly, I think the best move for the Clippers to win a championship is to keep those depth pieces that they just shipped off. Yeah. Like Marcus Morris isn't great. Robert Covington isn't great. But at the same time, those are two veteran guys who have been in a lot of playoff situations. And I would much rather have those guys and just have general depth than go all in for a guy that we've never seen have really any playoff success.
Yeah, Robert Covington is the Tommy Pham of the NBA. He's on a different team every single year.
Yeah.
Man.
Back to the Sixers now.
So we're going to get into it a little bit more later in the show, but your initial thoughts when people say, and we do this every time somebody demands a trade, could this be bad for the league?
No, because this James Harden just feels like his own... Well, actually, no, I'll turn that around because the fact that James Harden actually did end up getting what he wants, I think, is just a bad sign. The fact that this is now back-to-back times when, specifically in Philadelphia as well, where guys have said, I'm just not going to play because I'm not happy here and I would very much like to be in a different situation, that's not supposed to work out. Like you said up top with your parenting example, like at some point you're supposed to get slapped on the wrist and understand that, look, like, it's not that you're not physically capable of doing it. You're more than everybody's capable of making their their wants known, but you can't just go out and forcefully do it without being checked. And I think the fact that he just hasn't been checked all these times, and Ben Simmons and James Harden now have both gotten exactly what they wished for, I think it just shows that and Damian Lillard as well. Like it just shows that, just wait out your time. Like, even if it doesn't happen immediately, if you make your displeasure known, you'll get what you want at some point. You just got to kind of wait it out. And it's honestly more ball in the court of the teams. And this is bad for the NBA because, you look at what the Sixers just got for, I mean, I know James Harden is up there in age, but for a guy who was, again, led the NBA in assists last year and was, I don't think he made all NBA, but was really close to making all NBA. And you got him for three veterans and two pretty much end of the first round picks. It's just not a good sign for franchises. Like, it's great for players. Players, again, they're player empowerment. They're going to get what they want if you really want it. But for teams, for small markets especially, like Portland, again, is taking an L with this Dame situation. Right. But let's just hypothetically say this happens with De'Aaron Fox. What's to stop if De'Aaron really wants to go to L.A. or go back to – Texas or something like that. What's 5 years from now? What's to stop him from feeling like he doesn't have the right to do so?
Yeah,
to ask out.
It's just a matter of time. Yeah. And, you know,
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, we got to get to a break. I will give my thoughts on this as well later in the show. When we get back, a cautionary tale featuring Davante Adams. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Fourth official show, and it's a Halloween special. Ooh. On this Tuesday. What's the cutoff, you think? I know everybody asks this, but what is the actual cutoff for trick-or-treating?
It's a great question. Probably like, I would say like seventh or eighth grade, like nearing high school.
What?
It feels like nearing high school. I'd feel like
I'd love for my high schooler to trick or treat. No, instead of going to a party.
I mean, yeah. As a parent, for sure.
Yeah.
But kids.
So you're saying you would like, if a high schooler came up to you and was like, trick or treat, you wouldn't give them candy if they came to your door?
No, I don't have any problem. I don't have problems giving candy. I just feel like, as a person in general, like when does the excitement of trick-or-treating wear off? That's more what I was going for. If a 17-year-old comes up to my door and asks for candy, I'll definitely look at them questionably, but I'll probably give them some Skittles or something.
I think let's meet in the middle here.
Okay.
Just like Maren Morris.
Yes. You get it? Now.
It's basically junior year. Is not
that just feels
sophomore
so
year. Freshmen, sophomores, you're still innocent.
Maybe when
and
I have kids, my opinions will change on
junior
age.
Junior year, you are varsity now. Junior year, you're not trying to trick or treat. You're driving as well. Freshman, sophomore year, I think there's still some trick or treaters.
I think it's fine too, but I think again, like the point in which it should start to be considered a cutoff would probably be around 13 or 14.
Okay, let me ask you this then. That's wild to me, because what are you supposed to do?
All I'm learning is Alan apparently was trick-or-treating until his junior year.
I was too.
I'm trick-or-treating tonight. I need my kid-sized Snickers.
All you zonks can probably get away with it. You know
what
I'm saying?
Wow. He hit you with the zonks.
Come on.
Wow. That is just wildly disrespectful. But that was actually well done. That was well done. I'll take it.
Because
I'm proud. I'm proud.
Yeah, you're very proud.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, okay. Well, but that's what I'm saying, though. You're cutting it off 13, 14. What do you want them kids to do?
I'll just chill at home, watch
chill
scary
at
movies.
Home. Chill
you know?
At
really?
Home.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, watch some scary movies, you know.
Let's just put it out there. 916-339-1140, text line, YouTube chat. What should be the cutoff age for trick-or-treating? Chris says...
I would say high
school. Chris says 11.
I did not say 11. I said high school. I would say if you're entering high school, you should definitely start to consider.
So 14.
Yes, I would say 14.
That's
I would say
wild.
14 is a good cutoff.
Simone?
I had to hit him with a high hater.
Nah.
No, I definitely think as long as you're living under your parents' house, it's all good to go. You can do it.
That's a dangerous cutoff.
Really?
That could be no cutoff. You could have 35-year-old dudes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now that I hear it back.
I can roast my sister here, but I'm going to be the bigger person.
You should. As you publicly say it.
She could be trick-or-treating right now. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I really don't have a problem with the cutoff, but it's more just like, I feel like at high school, like the pressures start, you know, it's like, are you a baby? Like, you're going to go trick or treat? It's more of just like, that's when peer pressure really starts to set in. And again, I would heavily consider more so you don't, possibly catch some strays from some hormonal teenagers.
There. Yeah. So this is actually really a really polarizing question. My answer would be 16.
Yeah.
Because I just think at that point is when you have stuff better to
do. Someone says in the chat here, so this is also key as well. Like, teenagers, if they are going to show up to the door, you have to be in costume. Like, you can't just do that.
We're
just trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
I'm a soccer player.
Yeah.
I have soccer pants
on. Paper. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Even if you're with your younger sibling, you can't just, I'm just taking them out. Okay. Yeah. Well, then they're the ones getting candy.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
You.
Yes.
All right.
Got to lay down the law. You do have to be very assertive at the door. That's something I did not know until I was like, you know, on the other side of it is that, like you really do have to be like, yeah, so like, here's, you only get two pieces, and can't have, where's your costume at?
Was there an area, everybody, it was the area by me, was Crystal Ranch, right? Crystal Ranch was where the rich houses were.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the ones that gave out the king-size candy bars. Was there an area where everybody said, yo, you got to go there? That's where they really get it popping.
I would go, when we were kids, we would go all the way out to this place called Rancho Marietta, which I'm sure some people are familiar with. That's like a whole, like, community and all
very
that stuff.
Affluent.
Yeah,
it
so,
sounds affluent.
But I believe East Sac would be the place, like the Fab 40s. Oh, you probably haven't even experienced the Fab 40s.
No.
The Fab 40s are like the nicest places in Sacramento.
Okay.
It's like in, is that mid? I guess it's in East Sac. It's in Midtown. But
okay.
Yeah, that would probably be the one. It's got massive streets, massive houses, and I assume massive candy bars as
very
well.
Very iconic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm from the country. I'm from Elk Grove. Represent.
Same.
So yeah,
same.
There's there's a certain neighborhoods you could go to that, you know, were more affluent as well, and you'd get the big candy bars. But yeah, it ain't no thing.
It ain't no thing. It ain't no thing.
Yep.
Well, you know, it is a thing with Davante Adams and what's going on with the Raiders.
Oh my goodness.
And I just want to say this, man.
Ugh, all tricks, no treat.
This is very good. This is a cautionary tale. You know, a lot of people in life, they make decisions based on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
They make decisions based on relationships.
Yes.
Sometimes it works out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't. You cannot make decisions based on emotion. You cannot make decisions based on friendships, relationships, because those things can change. Davante Adams, and we love him, Palo Alto High, was a wide receiver with Jock Peterson, goes on to play for his favorite team, the Raiders, with his buddy from Fresno State.
Best buddy.
And we have all these weapons. We have Darren Waller. We have Hunter Renfrow. We have Josh Jacobs. We're going to turn things around. And it couldn't have gone worse for Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
So the report is now, you would think that, okay, now that the Raiders are stuck, they can't really do too much. Davante Adams came there. He gave it a good college try.
Yeah.
He really wanted this to work.
This is not a Randy Moss situation.
No, he wanted this to work, and it's just not working. And Davante Adams is slamming his helmet on the bench yesterday. And you know what comes out? That a month ago, he went to the Raiders and asked, would they be interested in a change of scenery? And you know what the Raiders told him? They told him no. So don't ever do something for anybody thinking that they're going to have your back and want your best interest. The Raiders are refusing to embrace the tank and just hang around. And I really don't even know what their plan is.
I have no idea.
But they've decided that they're not going to give up Davante Adams, at least not as of right now. Trade deadline is at 1 p.m. Pacific time. That's when it ends. And Davante Adams is basically stuck. And as we just talked about all of this happening in the NBA, NFL players do not have the same type of leverage. They never have. Maybe somebody like Davante Adams. But let that be a cautionary tale. Look, not to get too into it, I think we've all made decisions. I've made personal decisions that have affected me professionally because I was acting on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think through the best thing to do and the reasons to do them.
Right.
And it ended up costing me.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens at different times in your life. And Davante Adams, you got to wear it right now. Unfortunately, it's sad.
Yeah.
He wasted his career.
It's incredibly sad. I mean, he's even now, like you see last night, that deep bomb that Jimmy Garoppolo
completely
missed on him. Davante Adams created that space all by himself. I mean, he mixed that DB up and could not have been more open for a wide open touchdown down the stretch when this team needed it the most. And I cannot imagine what it must feel like to be a receiver and just have that helpless feeling. I mean, I think Adams was targeted 7 times yesterday, only had 1 catch. Like, it's got to be, I mean, every Raider fan was complaining about Derek Carr, rightfully so, last year. And I think even Davante Adams would probably admit that it wasn't exactly what he wanted it to be last year. But what's going on right now with Jimmy G? And Jimmy G is definitely playing a huge part in all of this. But what's going on with not just Jimmy G, but with that Raiders team? Is just terrible. And Davante Adams, a player of his caliber, somebody who can really impact. Like, could you imagine if the Chiefs just went all in to go get a guy like Davante? Like, that's something that could realistically swing a Super Bowl. He's that talented. And for him to just be wasting away on this franchise that just is going nowhere right now, it's just incredibly sad to see. And it makes you almost wonder, okay, yes, the NBA does have its drawbacks with all of their all their trade things and their player empowerment, but is this any better? Is what the NFL has going on any better where these guys are essentially trapped and we see the running back situation as well?
Right.
It really sucks to see a guy like Devontae Adams who didn't ask for any of this. He didn't ask for Aaron Rodgers to be overly emotional and want to leave Green Bay. He didn't ask for, I don't think he asked for the Raiders to trade for him. I think he was okay with it because of the Derek Carr relationship, but he didn't ask to get stuck here after Derek Carr left either, and he definitely didn't ask for Jimmy G to be his terrible quarterback.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, you know what? We're just going to roast Jimmy G because it was so bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any type of Brock Purdy, Jimmy G comparison.
Also, we
that
have
guy
to get
terrible.
To the Devontae Adams sound as well, because that is...
Yes, it's sad.
If the situation doesn't make you sad, hearing Devontae Adams talk about the situation is borderline depressing.
We got that right when we get back. Hang with us, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Happy Halloween.
Very happy. Very happy
it's
now.
It's spooky.
Not bad. Okay.
I don't know.
It's like a vampire, kind of.
That's just my generic Halloween
spooky season
voice sound.
Ooh. I like it. It's a good one. It was a good one.
It just reminds me of commercials. Come to Great America for a spooky time. That's what it reminds me
you
of.
You know, those voice actors, that's a way to go.
It
like,
is.
You know, this radio thing is cool and all,
yeah.
but like, I've heard Will Arnett, who records like tons of different voice work.
Right.
He makes like almost as much. I think he makes more doing voice work than like actually actively acting. So.
That is, I mean, it's look, if you got it, but you got to be able to.
You got to have.
You got to have a lot because they want
sound.
You. They want you the one stop shop. You
exactly.
know, they don't want to get one person to do one
exactly.
specific thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Styles and Watkins, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., fourth official show as we are breaking down all things. NBA. We'll get to the Kings a little bit later in the show, of course. Chris Biederman from the Candlestick Chronicles joining us at 11 to talk Niners and whether they'll make a move. And some people have been talking about the Niners making a move for, another wide receiver because that's what the Niners need. That's what the Niners need.
Yeah.
They need another receiver and they need another pass rush. The two things that going into the season, we thought they were stacked
that's
on.
That's where they were most fine. And I still think they are. That's the thing is, like, I keep hearing these, Niners should go out and Montez Sweat got traded earlier, but they should go get Montez Sweat. They should go try and get Brian Burns. They should try and Derrick Henry. Like, why are every position in which they're just completely set? It's let's actually double down and just be absolutely unworldly at that position. Like,
right.
No, sometimes... Sometimes you've got enough.
Yes. Sometimes you would think that you have had enough. And Devontae Adams has had enough. Let's hear from Devontae and what he had to say after the loss.
I honestly don't know what to say at this moment. I truly don't. I wish I had the words to, you know, to say something that's not going to get blown up in the media and taken out of context. So I'm going to just, I just don't know.
Is that somehow worse than saying no comment? Because, like, typically when someone's just like, I really am afraid I'm going to get myself in trouble, you just hit them with the Mark McGwire no comment.
And
I feel like somehow saying, you know, I really want to say things, but anything I say will probably be spun in a negative way. And my mom always told me that if you don't have anything nice to say, not to say it, so I'm going to say nothing.
Yes.
That kind of sounds like you're saying a lot.
Right.
And, you know, your intention was to say nothing.
Well, he already was on camera slamming the... That's he said,
great
I got to, you know, we got to relook at what he said as far as reading lips. But we saw him slam down the helmet. It was just all around bad. And to make things worse, Adam Schefter is here saying that it ain't going to happen. So don't ask, right? That Nick Saban. I'm not going to answer, so don't ask it.
One of my favorites. Let's
hear from Adam Schefter.
I thought you might ask that this morning, Molly, so I made a couple of calls in advance. And the response that I got back to any potential Devontae Adams trade by the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline today was to, quote, not a chance in hell. So there's your answer. Not a chance in hell.
I
not
like
going to happen.
Quote, Adam.
He's not going to be dealt by the 4 o'clock deadline today, despite the fact that everybody sees what's going on there. Everybody sees how frustrated he is. Everybody sees how disappointed they are. And everybody knows, yeah, he would fit with a lot of teams. A lot of teams could use Davante Adams right now by the 4 o'clock trade deadline, but that trade is not going to happen.
Wow.
I don't like that quote, Molly. So that's terrible. I mean, how does that look for like future Raiders? Like, how does that show for if the Raiders were to eventually go out and try and get other superstars as well? Like, how does Max Crosby, who might be a little happier, but how do other stars view this when you go, like, if you're going to go to the Raiders and they put you in this situation? The least that you would like to think that they would do is have an open dialogue with you about, hey, right. Like, I still have value right now. Mm-hmm. I can help you guys. You guys help me as well. Like, receivers have never been more valuable in terms of trade assets than they are right here, right now. We saw what A.J. Brown went for last year. We've seen what teams have given up for, you know, Chase Claypool, if I'm not mistaken, last year at the trade deadline went for a second round pick. That was Chase Claypool.
Right.
I feel like Davante Adams can get you a first-round pick, could probably get you multiple, you know, second- or third-round picks as well. And the Raiders, again, they're in a situation where that should be what you're going for, is for building for the future. Because right here, right now, you gave Jimmy Garoppolo a contract, which makes it easy to move on from. I feel like the Raiders need to be thinking about the next steps. And I'm sorry, I know it's only week 8, but, like, I think the season's over.
Well, it's all connected to Josh McDaniels, because – they were supposed, the Raiders, when you did bring in Davante Adams and you did have a plethora of weapons to work with Derek Carr.
Right. I forgot Waller's gone too now.
Waller, yeah. Really weird. Yeah. They just didn't get a lot, whatever the case was. So because it all got messed up, because since they didn't win immediately and things got sticky with Derek Carr and they had to move off from him. Josh, of course, and I don't know whose call it is, but a lot of times the GM and the coach are connected,
yes,
right?
And so, those two very much are.
And those two very much are. So they don't have time because of the amount of time they spent stinking. They don't have time to refresh. They're just going to sit there and say, look, Mark Davis, just fire us because we're not going to restart it because we know we don't have time to restart it. So really what should have happened was, after they moved off of Derek Carr, they should have still drafted Aiden O'Connell. They just never should have signed Jimmy. Yeah. And they should have moved off of Davante Adams. Yeah. Those are the two things they should have done. Just fully load, fully tank, and maybe you really stink and you can slide in and get a Drake May or Caleb Williams.
Right.
Or Aiden O'Connell ends up being the guy. The Jimmy Garoppolo move made absolutely no sense to me. And to be completely honest with you, I know you moved on from Oakland and you're in Vegas now. It was very much little brother. Ha ha. Well, you don't like Jimmy Garoppolo 49ers. Well, we're gonna turn your trash into treasure. Well, no, you're not.
It did feel a lot like that.
Come on, like Josh McDaniels, you just brought in all your guys, all your homies, so you can stink in a different color.
Yeah.
You just came to stink in a different city with a different jersey. Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, those were, and I actually heard on the broadcast, I heard Papa on the broadcast say Brock Purdy had a Jimmy Garoppolo-esque throw. To me, that's disrespectful.
Yes, it is.
After watching that, that was some of, how many times, and we know, Chris, we've been getting into the Prize Picks. Can I get an over on the amount of sacks that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to take?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was so bad.
He looks scared. He looks terrible. And I know he's got the busted back, which, honestly, especially if you're playing quarterback, like in your Jimmy G, who's already close to being replaceable or already is replaceable, why are you going to throw him out there when he's not 100%? Because anytime there was any pressure within 3 steps of his face, he's just turning. He's turning his back.
It's so bad.
And he's cowering down himself. He's taking sacks himself. It's got to be. I cannot imagine how infuriating it must be for Davante Adams and for anybody on that Raider team who's actually trying to win ball games. Because, you know, they still. I really like Jacoby Myers. I think that's a great addition. I like the Michael Mayer pick. I think that's a good way of moving on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, their defense has been okay, but I swear they've said this stat every single week, and it continues on. The Raiders have not put up 21-plus points in a game this season.
Yeah.
Their offense cannot get moving, and they have necessary weapons to get it done. And it's just, I mean, how do you not point directly at Jimmy G, and how do you not point directly at Josh McDaniels? This isn't like a 49ers situation right now where we were doing blame pies yesterday and there's tons of different reasons right. and excuses. For me, it's as clear and cut and dry as Jimmy Garoppolo is terrible and missing wide open throws, and Josh McDaniels just is not the right guy for that job. And I'm pretty sure everyone who watches the Raiders knows that. I feel like Dave Ziegler knows it. I feel like even Mark Davis knows it, but it's just, it feels like the Raiders can never get out of
their
own way.
They just can't get it right. They just can't get it right. And, you know, when you talk about the different situations with the Raiders stinking, right? If you were to ask that right now, you talk about the blame pie. Have you ever seen those graphs where it says yes, and then it says yes, but in a different color,
yes.
right? That's where we're at with this.
Yeah.
And later in the show, we were talking about this Athletic article by Chris Branch, and he talks about the six messes in the NFL, and I don't even know if this list is valid anymore because
right.
the Raiders aren't on it.
Yeah, exactly. And they the almost need their own separate thing.
And the 49ers are.
Yeah.
What is a mess?
Yeah. I mean, they are the definition of a mess right now because they have no answers anywhere. They don't have an answer at quarterback. They don't have an answer at coach. They don't have an answer at GM. And it doesn't seem like they're anywhere. And they don't know it. That's the thing is they're not leaning. They're not like the Cardinals who are leaning in to a tank. They're not like other teams who know they're bad and aren't trying to be good this year. The Raiders are still holding on to this illusion that they'll sneak into the last playoff spot, I think. Like, that's what it feels like right now. I don't know why else they wouldn't just embrace playing Aiden O'Connell, getting assets for Davante Adams or for whoever else you want to possibly ship off as well. It just feels like the Raiders they have no self-awareness at all.
And that's, zero.
Frankly, I mean, what's new?
Zero.
It's not a new case.
Zero. Yeah. To be completely honest, if we were going to take it there, the Raiders, when they look in the mirror, they see a supermodel, but
yeah.
They are not a supermodel. Yeah. They think they are, though,
yeah.
but they're not. And it's a complete mess, and Jimmy Garoppolo has got to be one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play the sport. And he's getting progressively worse.
Yeah. He's getting worse.
And we got to go, but we got Chris Bearderman coming up right next here from Candlestick Chronicles, Styles and Watkins. But Jimmy Garoppolo, oh, yeah, that's on me. Well, you're the one throwing it. Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. And water is wet.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was Davante Adams' fault that you missed him 10 yards out of bounds. Yeah. I didn't think
he was
on you.
He wasn't running fast enough.
That's he wasn't really open enough. All right, got to go. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, Chris Bearderman up next from the Candlestick Chronicles.